Praise God. Are we ready over there? Okay. Let's pray. Precious Lord, once again, we come before you to receive instruction. We come, O Lord, this glory, that you might instruct us in the way we should go. Even now, Lord, we are asking for more of your wisdom and revelation. Cause our Jesus Christ to be ordered in this life, every step through your voice, even as he instructs us. We receive God's instruction tonight, and we remind of God that even my listeners will also receive instruction into their hearts to walk in obedience and in love to your commandments. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, so we continue with what we started last week and hearing God's voice. And I try to make us understand we're dealing with these both in the Bible studies and then in the Sunday messages. And that is a kind of an emphasis for you to understand the importance that this carries in our lives. And one thing that identifies you as a child of God primarily is ability to hear God as your father. Every child will always hear what the father will have to say or the parents will have to say. And so you've been born again into the family of God. It's imperative for you to understand that you should be able to hear God talk to you, give you directions on the way to go, on the way to do things. As a matter of fact, it's important you understand this, that every decision ordinarily that you are supposed to take in life as a child of God should be colored by the voice of God. Every decision, not some, every decision should have the influence of the voice of God. That's why it's important for you to hear God, to know him, and to understand him. Very, very important. Very, very crucial. Praise God. All right. So our main text again is John 10, verse 27, 28. My sheep hear my voice. That's what we're dealing with. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. All his life doward. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Any man. Whether the devil, whether anything, nobody can pluck you out of the hands of God. We emphasize that on Sunday. Okay, so the word voice, thank you, Lord. The word voice is the word phone in the Greek. Phone. And phone means through the idea of disclosure. Now, this is very, very important. Through the idea of a disclosure, a tone by implication, an address for any purpose. Now, I want you to get that again. When you say voice, we're talking about the idea of a disclosure. That is to say, something that is hidden is being revealed to you. Amen? So now, it goes beyond audible voice, as you may want to think it. Because when I say you must hear the voice of God, often what comes to your mind is, well, it has to be audible voice. Yes, audible voice, good. As we're going to see, different patterns are made by which God speaks. But what is key to the word voice is the word disclosure. In other words, God disclosing his mind to you, or his purposes to you, or the direction that you must take that are hidden to you. That's what it means to hear the voice. It's a disclosure of intent and purposes, both of God for you and to your life and for your life. That is to say, God has some things in mind for you. God has some plans in mind for you. So, what happens when you hear the voice? The voice discloses those plans and purposes for you to understand them. And so you begin to walk in the direction that God has ordained for your life. That's what the word voice means. Phone. It's an address for a purpose. And I want you to get that again, very important. When God speaks to you, he's addressing you and disclosing the purpose to your life. It's an address for a purpose. Any purpose for that matter. It's a saying, it's a language, it's a noise, it's a sound, the voice. Funny. Amen. It actually means to lighten, to show, to appear, to shine, and it means to think. So when we talk about the voice of God or the voice of Christ, the first thing is a disclosure of his mind and the purpose that he has for you, so that you can walk in his purposes and his mind. Now, look at the case of Abraham. The Bible says, come out of your father's house, out of your kindred, out of your country. What I call three levels of separation. Taught us some years back. Out of your family, out of your kindred, out of your country. There's a three level of separation when you hear the voice of God. And now he's taking you to another direction. You must understand the case of Abraham. God told him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Why? Because his father and his grandfather, if you will, Terah, they were idol worshippers. So it was a country infected with idols, a family infested with idols. So the purpose, basically, of the call of Abraham is to separate him from a family infested with idols so that he can raise another nation for God without idol worship. So he said the voice he had discloses to him the purpose. Why he's calling him? What was the purpose? I want to make you a father of many nations. These are nations that are going to be righteous people. They will serve me without the influence of idols in their life and in their families. So come out of your family, come out of your kindred, come out of your country. I give you another country, I give you another family that will worship me and not worship me through idols, because they will do all of those things through ignorance. So you see, the voice disclosure or discloses to him what he was calling him for to do. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Yeah. So that gives him direction. So when you hear the voice, it gives you direction on the way to walk in his purposes. Primarily. So it's not just the voice for, how do I put this? Well, while it can be applicable as far as the issue of business, family is concerned, but all of those things for a purpose. If we call you into the business area, he has a purpose for calling you. Remember what he said in Isaiah 45 unto King Cyrus. So you didn't know me, I called you, right? And I'm going to give to you the word of the Gentiles. And I call you for the sake of my people, Israel. So the word of the Gentiles that King Cyrus was going to have was for the sake of his house, Israel. So even in terms of finances, you should be able to hear his voice, what he wants you to do, even with your finances. Hallelujah. He doesn't make you rich just because he wants you to be rich. He wants you rich for a purpose. He wants you rich for his own sake. That's why the scripture says there is nothing you have that is not given to you by God. Everything you have is given to you by God, and it's for his own sake. And here do you express that? Through the church, through his body. So he told King Cyrus, you can take time to read Isaiah 45. You don't know me, I know you, and I call you by name. And not just that, I'm going to deliver to you the word of the Gentiles for my own people's sake, Israel. And so the financing that was coming to King Cyrus was to build the wall of Jerusalem and to get the people that were in exile to come back home and build the foundation of the temple. That's why he gave him money. That's why he called people to come and support him. Now, there is something people don't understand when it comes to this dimension. Anytime you encounter God through the voice, your name comes into prominence. And this is very important. I want you to get that. So you see, King Cyrus, though he was not a believer, his name came into prominence because of the assignment that God has for him. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Very good. You find the same thing in the case of King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a heathen. But in Jeremiah 25, God called him my servant. Why? Because he wanted to use him for a purpose, to deal with Israel who refused to allow the land to go fallow. They won't keep the Sabbath. And that's okay. I'm going to get you out of this land so that the land can experience Sabbath. And I'm going to have Nebuchadnezzar to do that. That's why they went to captivity for 70 years. So that the land can remain fallow. Now, the problem with Nebuchadnezzar was, that's kind of what I'm going to make you see. It's not as if Nebuchadnezzar had a loud voice. But he had the voice of God because he carried out an assignment that God has for him. Now, he didn't recognize that it was God, because perhaps because he never had it, an audible voice, or the case may be. So he said, is it not Babylon that I built by myself? That was when God brought him down to become like an animal. And he said, after 7 years, you're going to come back. When you acknowledge that God ruled where? In the affairs of man. Did you get that now? Right. So God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar, but he didn't know. That's what I'm going to make you see as we progress on this. That there's a way God talks to you. You may not be hearing audible voice, but he speaks to you. Look at the case of the woman of Zarephath. Right? The widow. In verse 9 of that chapter, the Bible says, I've commanded the widow of Zarephath. So what she did, was unknown to her, she was responding to the voice of God. Is anybody following what I'm saying now? Good. Now, what was it that was directed? This woman was directed to take care of who? Elijah, which had to do with his house, his body. The provision that was going to come was to man to sustain his body. And not just that, to take care of herself and her child. You see what I mean? So, it will come to that place where you'll be able to hear the voice. It may not be audible voice, but as long as it's a direction that fulfills God's purposes, you know that this is God talking. Because remember, the word phone means a disclosure of idea for purpose, right? Very good. Primarily, an expression of a purpose, an address of a purpose. So now, when God speaks to you, one of the ways by which you identify God speaking to you is doing the will of God. When you begin to walk in his will, you begin to have that inclination, that desire to do certain things which are actually God's will. That is God talking to you. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, just like the woman of Zarephath, the widow. Is that okay? They never had any audible voice, but they served the purposes of God. So when you are serving God's purposes, you begin to understand that God is actually talking to you. That's why you don't pull back. You don't pull back when you're doing God's will. No matter the circumstance, you don't pull back. That is God talking to you. And your destiny is connected to that instruction that you are receiving from the Spirit. Everybody may not hear God talk at the same time. Even as we're preaching now, everybody may not be able to hear. It could be sound. When you begin to follow instruction, it becomes voice. You can hear sound without hearing the voice. The voice will lead you to do his purposes. Sound will not be anything. Hallelujah. Amen. So, am I helping anybody here? Very important so that you understand. Your life, in the true sense, is encapsulated, is surrounded, is bound up by the voice of God. If you want to fulfill destiny, then you must hear God's voice. And once you begin to hear the voice of God and walk in the light of what is instructed you to do, you're walking on the path of righteousness. You're walking on the path that God has ordained. I can assure you, you have a crown. Hallelujah. Now, I'll deal with that maybe after this section. I'll bring it up. I'm already doing part of it on Facebook for those of you who have access to that. You know, when we're young in the faith, and we were taught that when we get to heaven, we're going to wear 7 crowns. Eh? Hallelujah. And I used to wonder, how do you get to heaven and be wearing 7 crowns? Unless you're going to be alternating them every day. Wear one today, wear one tomorrow, wear the other one tomorrow, you know, in the next day. You know, but no. Nothing to do with that. So, you know, you have a crown of righteousness, you have a crown of life, you have a crown of immortality, or what we call incorruptible crown. You know, you have all of those things. I will deal with them maybe after this. So what I mean is, when you walk in obedience, every of those crowns has to do with your responding to what God is asking you to do. And your faithfulness to what he's asking you to do is what determines the crown that you receive. And so, when you look at that in the book of Revelation 2 or 3, you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. When he said, to him that overcometh, shall I give a crown of this, the crown of life. You understand that? Right, very good. So, the overcoming has to do with ability to overcome the system that are keeping you bound from moving in the direction that God has ordained for your life. So, when you can overcome those things, there's a crown reserved for you that you receive at the end of the day. We deal with all of that after now. Amen. Maybe you remind me, because something else can come up. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're dealing with funny, we're dealing with the issue of the voice of God. Now, look at this. The word funny is from where the word phone comes from, in quote. Your phone. You understand what I mean? Right. And you know it's a means of communication. If somebody phones you, he's trying to talk to you. He's trying to communicate an idea. He's trying to perhaps give you direction. He's trying to disclose the purpose. So the word phone is from where they have the word phone, which is communication. Praise God. All right. So let me not deal fully with all of this, but last week I mentioned to you the characteristics of being a sheep. My sheep hear my voice that we're dealing with. We said, number one, you must be born from above. Number two, you must listen to what he says, listening to him. Number three, know his voice. Number four, follow him. Number five, he gives you eternal life, which means you have eternal life. And number six, you can't be destroyed. And number seven, you won't backslide. Remember that. I shared all of these things on Sunday. All right. So, let's look at something. Hebrews 3:7. Hallelujah. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you hear his voice. Hallelujah. If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation of the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and I've not known my ways. The things I want you to see from this last part. But if you look at the whole of this, it means everybody's bound to hear the voice of God. If you hear the voice, harden not your heart. He wasn't talking to an individual. He was talking to the whole congregation. That would mean everybody is supposed to hear the voice of God. Are you there with me? Just like everybody is supposed to have salvation, even so, everybody is supposed to hear the voice of God. From this passage, if you hear the voice today, harden not your heart. That's what he said. He wasn't talking to an individual. He was talking to a corporate body. So everybody is supposed to hear the voice of God. Everybody. No exception. Just no exception. All right. So here he said, they always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Remember, scripture says, God revealed his acts, his ways to Moses, but his act unto the children of Israel. And I will tell you something. They don't know my ways, but they know my acts. The act are the signs, wonders, and miracles he performed to them and for them. Right? But his ways are his voice for direction. You can't truly know God, I keep emphasizing, with the acts of God. You know him by his ways, which has to do with his voice. When he said here, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always in their heart. What is that supposed to mean? They could hear God's voice, but they don't treasure what they hear in their heart to respond to what God is saying. And like I always say, for me, it was not going to be possible for them to get into the promised land, because it takes faith to enter the promised land. But from the very beginning of Mount Sinai, they objected to hearing the voice of God. And the Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they said, don't speak to us. You can talk to Moses. Let Moses talk to us. So right from that moment, they cut off themselves from faith. And because they cut off themselves from faith, I don't see how they were going to be able to get into the promised land. They always err in their hearts. How? Because they will not treasure what they hear in their heart to walk with it. Jesus always spoke in John chapter 14 and said, if you love me, keep my commandment. Now, keeping your commandment is not putting a box and locking it up. That's not what it means to keep commandment. Keeping commandment means you're responding and acting based on the instruction given to you. That's what it means to keep a commandment. It is to take the commandment, put them in a box and lock them up. Or go put them up in the bank. That's not what it means to keep my commandment. It means respond to whatever thing I say. And then the Bible says, my commandment are not grievous. Amen. Praise the Lord. So looking at this passage, go back again to verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as on the provocation, the day of the temptation in the wilderness today. And I want you to see where Paul picked this very message from, as the Holy Ghost said. That's what I want you to emphasize now. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. This where Paul picked that passage from. And is bringing it to the today of his day. The today of the day that Paul spoke about is directly connected, derived from the hour of the Holy Spirit. That's the day of what they call the last day. And I will emphasize it to you. Last day have nothing won't be to do with when the world will go up in flames. That is not the last day. The last day began right from the day of Pentecost. This is that which is spoken by prophet Joel. In the last day I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. So we have the days which have to do with the days of, if I may use the word, the day of the Father. When God was speaking to Israel, using Israel, giving them the commandment, that was the day. And then when the son was born, when God came in the flesh as the Son of God, that was another day. That is why in the book of Luke 17, he told them, the kingdom does not come by observation, right? He said, you shall desire one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not find it after now. So within the period of his ministry, I would say within the period of that 3.5 years, you can even say 33 and a half years that he lived, when he started his ministry at the age of 12. I told you that before. Jesus didn't start ministry at the age of 30. He started ministry at the age of 12, but he entered into public ministry at the age of 30. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So when Jesus used that word, you need to understand exactly what he was talking about. I mean, what we're reading here, when we talk about the day. So we have the day of the Father, we have the day of the Son, now we have the day of the Holy Spirit. So the last day simply means, now this is what it means. Is anybody following this now? Yeah. So the last day starts from right from when Pentecost came down up to this hour. We're still dealing with the last day. And this is the last day. It is last. No other day. That's why it is last. Okay. Let me explain it for you to understand it again. Because you see, when you see all manner of things going on, oh yeah, signs of the last time, signs of the last day. Nothing to do with that. There is nothing that you see today that have never been there before. Amen. And sometimes people tell you, oh, women, yeah, the way they dress, prostitution, Sodom and Gomorrah is the last day. Okay, you said Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is not today. And there was all of those sins in Sodom and Gomorrah. So why did the war not end there? That's not what last day stands for. So now, watch this. Remember, I told you here, and I've dealt with you before, and the unpardonable sin. And I told you there's nothing like unpardonable sin. Is that okay? Remember that. So we have sin against the Father, sin against the Son, sin against the Holy Ghost. Right? So when you sin against the Father, that was the day of the Father. You sin against the Son, that was the day of the Son. You sin against the Holy Ghost, that's the day of the Holy Spirit. So when he said there's no forgiveness when you sin against the Holy Ghost, no forgiveness, that means there is no other provision made by which man can be saved. So now the day of the Holy Ghost is what? The last day. Is it making sense? All right. So go back now to Hebrews. Okay, now Hebrews. Hide not your hand in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 7 tells us precisely that in this last day the Holy Ghost said, today. What's today? It's not talking about 24 hours. that's what I wanted you to see. Go to verse 7 again. Go back to verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today. Did you get it? Remember this word, the same thing that Jesus said to the thief on the cross. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today means the new days, a new season, a new moment. And today here is talking about the day of the Holy Spirit. Today, this hour. If you hear the voice, harden not your heart. Hallelujah. Okay, so like I said, let me show you where this is picked from. From the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 1. Now this be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his words was in my tongue. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. Now, this is where you find that in Acts chapter 2, the Bible refers to David as a prophet. Being a prophet, he foresaid the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can you get it now? And John tells you the interpretation was given to you of the meaning of the word prophet. Can you get it now? Good. But there's nowhere in the true sense where the Bible refers to David as what? As a prophet. David was a king. But look at what he's saying here. Can you get it? The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Amen. That is what the Spirit told me. Hallelujah. And this is what Paul was quoting in Hebrews chapter 3 now. So here David is saying, the Spirit told me in relation to being a ruler, what a ruler should do. Can you get it now? Are you with me? He said, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. That is what the Spirit told me. And I told you before, when you hear the voice of God, it's directly connected to primarily the assignment that he has for you. Can you get it now? Good. The Spirit told me. So, hallelujah. So you will find that all that is excellent in the Spirit, beautiful in language, I mean, all of the poetic images and songs that David wrote were directly connected to the instruction of what? The Holy Spirit. Can you see it? All of the Psalms, you know, the Psalms were songs, most of which he wrote and gave to the choristers, you know, to be singing in the temple. All of those instructions or songs that he put together, the poems, whatever thing you can find that David wrote, they were directly inspired by what? The Holy Spirit. And they were all declaring the goodness of God, both in his salvation, in terms of deliverance from Egypt, and the way to the promised land, and the coming of Jesus Christ. If you check everything that David ever wrote, it's centered on these three major things. Hallelujah. So everything, the supernatural influence and superiority of his natural talent, if you will, they were directly, influenced, and we can acknowledge them through the influence of what? The Holy Spirit of God. So, get this right. And like I always say, don't you ever think, because you are not a pulpit preacher, therefore, you can be used by God or influenced by God or walk in the influence of God's Holy Spirit. Don't you ever think that. Can you get this? David was a king and he's saying, all these songs I wrote, if you will, the instruction on how to rule people was given to me by who? By the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is saying, if you hear the voice today, what is it supposed to mean? Walk your life based on what? The instruction of the Holy Spirit, just like David did, even as a king. So even in the business place, you must walk with the instruction of who? Of the Holy Spirit. Today, if you hear his voice. Hallelujah. So the matter of writing and the immediate inspiration that David had, all of them came through what? The Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. The words of his tongue, they were directly inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so that's very important. Now this is where you see what Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1 verse 21. 2 Peter 1 verse 21. Verse 21, I said. 2 Peter 2, verse 21. Oh, is that what I'm looking for? Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Peter 1:21. Is that what I'm looking for? For the prophecy. That's what I'm saying. You were more or less confusing me. For the prophecies came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? The Holy Spirit. Holy men of God. Now, that gives you a simple definition. Remember, Everything David wrote was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So, in simple definition, David was the holy man of God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Now, I want that to sink in for you to really pick it up. Holy men of God were moved by the Spirit. They prophesied. David was saying what he was saying under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible calls them holy men of God. Why? Because they were under the Holy Spirit. There are only two spirits. It's either Holy Spirit or non-Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit or evil spirit. I mean, no two ways about that. Only two spirits. Is that okay? Right. So holy men of God were moved. They prophesied. They came to everything they declared under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so he called them holy men, because they were speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Not because of who they were naturally, not because of anything they were doing, but because they were under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they were called holy men. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, reading that passage before, like we said, it simply means everyone is qualified and supposed to do what? To hear the voice of God. So if David will hear the voice of God as touching rulership, as touching governance, it simply means you can't be exempted, even in your family circle, from receiving instruction from God on how to run your family and how to run your business. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So, now I just really want this to really get deep into you. Remember what we're saying concerning David, 2 Samuel 23. The Lord spoke to me by his spirit, instructed me that kings must rule men in being just. And so the instruction was directly connected to his rulership over men as a king. So you are a father, you are a mother. There has to be that instruction that comes from you, from the Holy Spirit. By implication, you must be led or instructed or inspired on how to deal with people that are under your influence. And that turns you to be a holy man or a holy woman. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was speaking to somebody, asked me a question, and we were discussing. I made to understand. In fact, he was asking, "What is this? Is the devil and all of those things?" Devil is something as evil. Huh? Good. Whatever is not holy is evil. That's all. Anything that is not holy is evil. So there is nothing specific about that which you're going to call the devil and pin it somewhere. No. And you should be able to separate the work of the flesh from whatever thing you call devil. That's why people do all of those things they call deliverances. Because of wrong thoughts. People's wrong thoughts can emanate into what you call devil. Just wrong thoughts. Amen. So, when you have wrong thoughts that you have been influenced, remember, all of those things being spoken has to do with the heart. You remember what we read in Hebrew 3? Right. They do always err in their heart. That has to do with their thinking, not treasuring the instructions of God. So, when your heart is meditating on things wrongly that are not of God, You are an evil dispensation, if you will. But essentially, it has to do with the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. So what I'm trying to make you see here is, wherever you find yourself, in whatever situation you find yourself, it's important you be able to walk with the leading of the Spirit. Even in your language, remember, it talks about the thought, it talks about his tongue. So whatever comes out of your tongue is supposed to be influenced by what? By the Holy Spirit. And that's because of what you're hearing. In other words, when you're hearing the voice of God, your heart comes to the place of being sanctified, that the things you say will be edifying instead of destructive to the hearers or those who are listening to you. Hallelujah. So David received the voice of God by the Holy Spirit. And what's the next thing that happened? He began to communicate with his tongue and in writing the things that were edifying and the future purposes of Christ coming and all that was supposed to be done in terms of human redemption. He began to paint the pictures from his heart. His tongue will say them, his pen will put them down. So, when you are actually walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, your tongue will be under control. You'll be able to know what to say per time and what not to say, especially to people. Amen? Hallelujah. So sometimes you can judge yourself. For scripture says, if we judge ourselves, we have no need for anyone to judge us. You can judge yourself by the things you say. Am I under the influence of the Holy Spirit or this is carnal? James talked about wisdom that is sanctuary and wisdom that is from heaven. You remember that? Good. Hallelujah. And I told you before in Luke 16, and you read about Lazarus and the rich man. I taught that. You can go back to the website and pick that up. Remember, when it was said, send Lazarus to dip a finger of water to cool my tongue. How many of you can remember the interpretation I gave to that? He wasn't talking about H2O. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. The finger of God is the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 12, 28, Jesus talks about if I cast out devil by the Spirit of God. And in Luke, he said, if I cast out devil with the finger of God. So, when Luke begin to write and say, Lazarus dipped the finger and cooled my tongue. What was happening was the rich man was somebody who was insulting Jesus, abusing Jesus, you know, all of those things. And he said, well, I'm into this flame. I've been tormented today because of the way I use my tongue against Jesus, which is Lazarus. Therefore, dip your finger, which is to say, let him send me the Holy Spirit so that I can repent of the things I said before. So you see, the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can tame your tongue. That's what James said. The tongue is small, but it's like the rudder of the ship. So who can tame the tongue? Only the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue. So the Pharisees were actually saying, let Jesus send on the Holy Spirit to cool our tongue so that we can confess positively and not negatively against him. Are you there with me? Praise God. All right. So, let's quickly move down to your remaining time minutes. Let me just see if I can do anything to that. Hebrews 1:1, Amplified Translation. Hebrews 1:1, Amplified Translation. In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, not the whole truth, and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophet. Many different revelations. Portion of truth. God will call up Jeremiah and say, what do you see? He said, I see an amor tree. You go ask him, what do you see? I see flying baskets. You understand that? And all of those things begin to be interpreted to get the full meaning. So separate revelation, different means, different symbols, God was using that to talk to the prophet. God told Ezekiel to lie down on one side for how many days, lie down on the other side for how many days. And he said, there's a number of years that children of Israel are going to be in captivity. How many of you remember that? And God spoke to Isaiah and said, you walk naked in the street. And people are wondering, how can a prophet go naked? He said, this is the way you're going to be naked when you are taken to captivity as slaves. So this is a symbolic way that God was speaking. That was still the voice of God. Are you getting this? Right. Okay. Remember, all of those revelations were fragmented. They were not the whole truth. Look at that. In many separate revelations, Enoch set forth a portion of the truth. What he had was the truth, but not the whole truth. So each one had the truth that was revealing. Jeremiah had a truth. Isaiah had a truth. Moses had a truth. Just think about it. Every one of them had a truth, a fragment of truth. That's why Jesus came out and said, I am the truth. Is that okay? Right. In other words, the fullness of what these people had converged in me. I am the full revelation of everything that they were trying to say. By implication, the Psalm, the prophet, and the law, they pointed towards me. So every one of those things that they put together, every bit of the law of Moses, they were pointing to who? To Jesus Christ. So the fragment of the truth, but not the whole truth. But the important thing is, they had something to say that God gave to them. Hallelujah. Verse number 2. But in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he had appointed heir and lawful owner of all things also, by and through whom he created the worlds and the riches of space and the ages of time. He made product, built, operated, and arranged them in order. Hallelujah. In these last days, he is speaking to us in a son. Not just in his son, but in a son. And that's a very strong word, if you may understand. Hallelujah. By implication, if you want to get the whole picture of what God said through the prophet, through the law, through the Psalms, you find them in who? In Jesus Christ. If you can count Jesus, if you can see who Jesus is, if he can be revealed to you, you have all of those things that he said before put together in one place. He's speaking to us today. In these last days, not the segment time of the prophet, not the segment time of the law, not the segmented time of the Psalms, all of those things come back together. Now you can understand what he said to those guys on the road to Emmaus. Remember that. So from the Psalm, the law, and the prophet, he expanded to them about Jesus Christ, how that was going to be born, die, crucified, resurrected again. How many of you remember that? So that's what we're seeing here. So if you can catch Jesus, everything that you found right from the law, the prophet, his hands, they all converge in who? In Jesus Christ. Whether major prophet or small prophet or junior prophet. Because that's what we classify them. We have major prophet. We have, is it small prophet or minor? Okay, minor prophet, right? Whether minor or major. Everything that they ever spoke as inspired by the Holy Spirit. And again, that tells you something. That even though we are now in the days of the Holy Spirit, which is the last day, it's not to say the Holy Spirit have not been there before. Just like grace has always been there before. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the living God. So here the Son is speaking to us where in the last day. So if we are saying the Son is speaking to you in the last day, that means he's speaking to you indirectly connected to what? The Holy Spirit. You look at the Son, you can get the whole message that God intends to communicate in relation to redemption of the world and of mankind. So the Holy Spirit only comes to help you out in this dimension. Can we look at the book of John 16? Let's look at it from verse number 16. Let me see if that is what we can catch. Hallelujah. All right. So in a little while, you see me no more. Okay. In a little while, you no longer see me. Just go to King James. That'll make it a little bit fast. Hallelujah. In a little while, you see me, you shall not see me. And again, a little while, you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now, this is very important. I want you to understand this tonight, if you have never understood it before. A little while you see me, a little while you will not see me. What's the meaning of that? I remember one guy that came to serve with us from Ebonyi State in those days, a youth copper. I just forgotten his name. We used to call him a little while because, yeah, he's an evil guy, because I preached this message then and the thing really entered into his head. You know? Yeah, so, he was only referring to the message a little while, so it became his nickname, a little while. Okay, so hear this. A little while you shall not see me, and again, a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Can you imagine that? A little while you won't see me, a little while you shall see me. What is a little while? Little while between when he's going to die, get to the cross, buried, resurrect, walk the earth, 40 days, 50 days, the Holy Ghost came. He came back. Little while is finished. So the little while was, I would say, 50 days. From when he died, buried, and resurrected, walked the earth for 40 days, on the 50th day, the Holy Ghost came. So who came on the day of Pentecost? Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Okay, move on now. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he said unto us? A little while and cannot see me, and again a little while and he shall see me, and because I go to the Father. The next thing says, they said, therefore, what is this that he said? A little while, and we cannot tell what he said. What's the next thing? Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, do inquire among yourself of that I said a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me. And then he said, verily I say unto you, that he shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and he shall be in sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Follow it. What is that supposed to mean? What it means to say here is this: when I die, you are going to face persecution. You're going to be in sorrow. You're going to be in pains. Remember, are you following what I'm saying now? We are even told the disciples have to hide themselves. You're going to be in pain. You're going to be in sorrow. Our leader is taken away from us. Now he's trying to explain to them the little while. So what's the next thing that said? A woman, when she's in travail, now what's the connection? Her sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she'll remember no more the anguish for joy that a man child is born into the world. What's a man child? What's the period of travail of that woman? Remember, the woman is the church. So what was he telling them? You, being the church, you're going to be traveling. The period of pain you are going to go through when I'm crucified and go to the cross, crucified, buried, and resurrected. That period is a period of pain. But the pain will turn to joy. What's going to bring the joy? That a man child is born. What's a man child? When the Holy Ghost came, you will be transformed from your timidity, from your fear, to a strong man that will rule the world. Did you get this now? So you see that the Peter that was so much afraid on the day of Pentecost stood up and started speaking to the people. And by the time he made the declaration, the people said, oh, brethren, what shall we do? Praise God. The next thing the Bible says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Hallelujah. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you. So in the midst of persecution, when the Holy Ghost comes, nobody takes that joy from you. You see what he's saying there? Hallelujah. The next thing he says, and in that day you shall act nothing, shall be nothing. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will do what? He'll give it to you. Praise the living God. Are we together? So this is a little while, which has to do with the day of what? Of the Holy Spirit. He came. So when we say if he hear the voice of the Son of God. And then you go to Hebrew and say, God is speaking today through what? The Son. How is he speaking? Through the Holy Spirit. By implication, you're not going to hear Jesus, you know, walk the street and begin to talk to you and hear all of those sounds, whatever it is. No, no, no. How are you going to be hearing the voice? Through the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? Resident in your life. That's what makes you the temple of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? So, in these last days, and the only final, if I may use the word, the final day, praise the living God. The Son is speaking, because the little while was finished 2,000 years ago. 50 days, he came back, like he promised the disciples. A little while, you shall not see me. And again, a little while, you shall see me because I go to the Father. What's the meaning of that? When I go to the Father, he sent down well, the Holy Ghost. Did you get it? Praise the Lord. I go to the Father, he sent down the Holy Spirit. The same chapter, if you go down there, he tells you, it's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, what? The Holy Ghost will not come. Remember that? Very good. So, where am I going to? I'm going to the Father. And verse number 10 said, and you see me no more. Go back there a little bit. Let's see what happened there. Go back to, let's look at verse 8. Verse 8 of John 16. So we can close from there. Verse 6. Go to verse 6. Let's take it from verse number 6. But because I said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Follow it now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. What's the next thing? Of sin because they believe not in me. And I've told you before that the Holy Ghost does not convict you of sin. He convicts you of what? Of righteousness. But he convicts the world of sin. All right. He has already convicted you of sin. That's why you believe in Jesus Christ. So having believed, the next thing to convict you of is what? Righteousness. How righteous you are. Righteousness. Because I go to my Father, and what happened? You see me no more. Plain stuff. So, how is it going to come again? Like he said, a little while you will not see me, a little while you see me. Now, it looked like it's contradiction. Here he said, you see me no more. You get down to verse 20, 21, thereabout, and he said, I go to my Father, in a little while you will not see me, a little while you see me. Do you understand that? What's the contradiction? When he's saying here, you see me no more, it means you can see me again in a physical form. But I'm coming to you as what? As the Holy Spirit. Is it making sense? Praise the living God. So, when he said, my sheep hear my voice, remember, he said that before he went to the cross. So now, the Son is speaking to us today God is speaking to us by the Son, or through the Son, or in the Son. And what's that supposed to mean? He's speaking to us through what? The Holy Spirit. Just like in 2 Samuel 23, he spoke to who? To David as a king on how to rule his people. Praise the living God. Are we here together? God bless you. Thank you.